month about Jesus today, and I want to talk to them about Jesus today in and through us. And a key verse there that I believe is an overarching scripture for this season or this series that we've been in is Hebrews 13:8, which says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen? I was thinking, you know, if Jesus was applying for a job, you know, his CV would look pretty good. Like, you know, turn water into wine. Like, still the storm just with a word. Like, spoke to Lazarus and said, come out of the grave after he'd been dead 4 days. Like, spat in a man's eyes and made him see. You know, and the list goes on. You know, people he raised up, people he healed, incredible ministry he had. And it was just a life, as he walked this earth, it was a life of miracles. Absolutely. And the scripture I want to start with on this is Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. To me, that gives an incredible snapshot of the life of Jesus. He was the Son of God, pre-existent, involved in creation, was the sustainer. I love that he just sustains the world by the word of his power. Just his word sustains this whole universe, this whole existence that we have is sustained because of the word of Jesus. He's the glory, radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having done what he came to the earth to do, having become the sacrifice for our sins, being raised from the dead, he then went and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I just want to run through a few scriptures quickly that talk about that, where Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Colossians 3:1 says, since you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Hebrews 8:1, we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we get a fairly clear message there that right now, Jesus has ascended to heaven. He's done the work that he came on earth to do and is now seated at the right hand of God. And I see two things in particular in that. One is to be seated at the right hand of God means his work's done. He's done what he came on earth to do. He became our Saviour. He became our Lord. He was crucified on our behalf. He died the death that we should die. And he was raised from the dead and now ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God in that place of rest. But it's also the place of authority. Seated at the right hand speaks of his authority. You all know the expression, the right hand man. Well, I think that's where that came from. The right hand man carries the authority of the person that he's there with, that he's representing. So Jesus is now in that place, resting from his work, but in a place of absolute, complete authority. But he's also with us. John 14, 15 to 20, Jesus made a promise. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Then he goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, we all know as Christians, the day will come when Jesus will come in bodily form to come and collect his bride and take his bride with him into eternity. We know that's going to happen. He's going to come in bodily form. He's promised that he would return for his bride. But in another sense, he's already come in the form of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, that was the Holy Spirit. That was Jesus coming in the form of the Holy Spirit. And what he promised there, that you in me and I in you. And that's what I want to focus on today, the me in Christ and Christ in me, to understand what that actually means for us, because it could just sound like words, but it actually has a very strong and powerful meaning in our lives. The fact that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. So let's just look at a couple of scriptures there. Colossians 3 verses 2 and 3 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And Romans 8, verses 1 to 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life sets you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's one of my favourite scriptures. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we see that the Bible is talking about us being in Christ. And what that actually means, I believe that us in Christ is our position of defence, protection and security. And I demonstrate it by a little picture that I put up there now. If we are in Christ, so the small circle is us in Christ, then there's a protection security in that. Because in Christ, there is no condemnation for me. In Christ, there is no guilt. In Christ, there is no shame. In Christ, there's no anxiety. In Christ, there's no fear for me. And so in Christ, if I'm encased in Christ, in that position, then when the devil comes along with words of condemnation, I can say to the devil, hey, devil, you better talk to Jesus about that because I'm in Christ. If the devil comes along with to bring up all your past sins, devil, you go and talk to Jesus about that because I am in Christ. Amen. If the devil comes along and tries to put fear or anxiety upon us, we can stand firm knowing that because I am in Christ, which is a position I take hold of by faith, then those things do not have any place in my life. Fear and anxiety and depression and all those things that seem to harm so many people do not belong to me because I am right there in the middle in Christ. So that's me in Christ. That's where I can be secure, protected. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Thank you. Well done. The old has passed away, all things have become new. That's what happens to me in Christ. The old me died, and there's a new me who lives right there, secure, bound up in Christ. But there's also Christ in us. And Colossians 1:27 says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This was a mystery that the world couldn't understand because, you know, the world lived in Israel lived in a kind of a situation of legalism, if I can obey the law and so on and so forth. But there's a mystery there that God was going to come in the form of his son Jesus, die, pay the penalty for our sins, and would come and actually dwell in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now Christ, in the form of his Holy Spirit, has come to live in me. So that means I carry the presence of God with me. That means you carry the presence of God with you. And that for us is our position, what I call our position of offense and victory. It means that both the authority and power of Christ are in us. Can you understand that? Just the next slide, thanks. I've got another little, okay. Christ is our position of offense and victory. It means that both the authority and power of Christ are in us. And we'll have the next slide up, thanks, guys. So this is what it looks like. Now Christ is in me, and out of Christ throwing out through me is power and mercy and grace and love and kindness, all the things that belong, that are in Christ, are now in me and will flow out through me. And I believe that each of us has the potential to release everything that is in, that Christ has, the power and authority of Christ, and the grace and the mercy and compassion of Christ can flow out from within us because Christ is in us. You know, many years ago, I was pastoring in a little country town. We were not only pastoring a church, but we were quite involved in the community. And my wife was actually coaching one of the basketball teams. And so we were kind of involved with that. And I remember the fellow that was the president of the basketball association one day said to me, he said, "Alan, why is it that we can all be in a room having heated discussions and fighting and arguing, and you walk in the room and suddenly there's peace? Why is that?" So what did I talk about? An open door. But the reason for it was simply that I carry the presence of God with me, and so do you. And I believe that we can walk into a room and the atmosphere in a room can change simply because we walk in, not because of who we are, but because of who we carry with us. I mean, I really believe that, and I've seen it happen, and it's just a mind-blowing thing to think that I have within me everything that Jesus has. Sometimes when I was out in the country, I'd often be driving home late at night because I was traveling around to different churches and ministering, and often driving home, you know, like in the middle of the night. And I don't know if you, those who've been out in those areas, know how beautiful the night sky is. You know, there's no city lights, there's no pollution, and I would actually sometimes stop the car, and I'd get out of the car, and I'd just look up, and I think, wow. The Milky Way, you can see the Milky Way so clearly, you can see the stars shining so brightly, and I would think, man, the Bible talks about God who flung the stars into space, you know, and all that he created, and yet what I could see is only a tiny bit of this universe, tiny bit of all that God has created. And I would think, this is amazing. This God who created all this is living in me. Is living in me and is living in you. So that releases in us the potential, I believe, to do the greater works that Jesus talked about. In Matthew chapter 28, we talk about Jesus' authority. We know this is a great commission. Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." You know, we all know the story. At the fall, the dominion over the earth was yielded to Satan. But at the cross and the resurrection, Jesus took it back. He said, "Now it's been given to me. Go, therefore." What he's really saying there is, I have now been given authority on this earth. I've received it back. I've won that back on your behalf. And now I am delegating that authority to you. So when we go, when we walk this earth, when we go and speak to people about Christ, we are doing that with an authority that has been delegated to us by Jesus Christ. because he is in us and we carry that authority. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And there's the promise again that he would be with us by being in us to the end of the age. So that's the authority now that we carry because we have Christ in us. Then in Mark 16, another verse that relates to the Great Commission, he's telling us to go and say, these signs will accompany those who believe. And then he goes on to talk about casting, they'll cast out demons, speak in tongues, pick up serpents. If they drink poison, they'll hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And that talks about the power that resides in us through Jesus Christ living in us. That's the power that he's made available to us. So both authority and power are now within us because Jesus is in us. And of course, you all know Acts 1:8, which says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. I've maintained this for probably as long as I've been a Christian, as long as I've understood it, that the presence of Christ in me by the Holy Spirit places in me the potential to do all the works that Jesus did, to heal the sick, to cast out the demons, to raise the dead. That potential exists within you and me. But I want to make this statement. Yeah, next one. Each of us has Christ in us, but the ultimate expression of the authority and power of Christ within us is released corporately through the church. I believe the potential is within each one of us, but not everyone seems to do it. But I'll look at it this way. I'm fairly good at some things, I think. But I'm not good at everything. Now, Pastor Ted's good at some things too. But despite what he thinks, no, he's... but he's not good at everything either. And Pastor Justin is fairly good. No, he's really good. He's good at some stuff too. He's really good at so many things. But he's not good at everything. And Jono over there, who calls himself a buffhead, he's awesome at some things, but he's not good at everything. But when we come together as the body, then we can be good at most, if not all, things. You got the idea? So what I lack, somebody else can cover. What you lack, somebody else can cover. And when we put it all together, we can have the ministry of Jesus that Jesus had and even greater things. You know, Ephesians 4, we know this scripture well, those who've been around a while. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, Jesus was the perfect apostle. He was the perfect prophet. He was the perfect evangelist, the perfect teacher, and the perfect pastor. Jesus was perfect in all those things. But I'm not. I might be good at a couple of them. And Pastor Justin's not, but he's good at some of them. And Pastor Ted and so on, like all of you. Probably good at some part of them, but when you put them all together, where is Jesus today? Right here, with us, in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 to 30, talks about some of the various gifts. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Then it goes on to ask some rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to those rhetorical questions is no. And whilst I've held for years the belief that that potential exists in each one of us, the reality is that not every one of us expresses all those gifts all the time. But when we work together as the body of Christ, we will see all those things expressed. So some people, I've seen this over the years, some people seem to have a gift of ministry and healing, for instance. And people get healed all the time through their ministry. In fact, I've known people that have got healing ministry for particular things. And you know, certain conditions that I've prayed for over the years, and lots of people got healed. And I don't know why that is, but it just is. And some people are, you know, incredible teachers of the word, you know, and others kind of can't teach for nuts, you know. not looking at anyone in particular, but you know, other people I know are, you know, incredible pastors, great at shepherding people, and other people, justice just not in them. And you know what? That's okay. Because God's put us all together to become the body of Christ. And in doing that, when Jesus said that we would do greater works than he did, not only the works that he did, but even greater, I don't believe that he was necessarily saying that an individual would do the greater works than he did. But I believe he was saying, when you come together, you will do the greater works together. I missed one scripture that should have been up there. It was 1 Corinthians 3:16. And to me, this is a real key. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, said, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you?" That's the one. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells within you?" I want to tell you that that word "you," the "you" there, is actually plural "you." There's a sense in which we know the scripture says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But when Paul said those words, he was referring to the church and saying that, "Do you not know that you collectively," plural, "collectively are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you?" So whilst in a sense it's right to say the Spirit dwells in me and dwells in you and dwells in the person next to you, the reality is the greatest expression of that is that the Spirit of God, that is the presence of Jesus, dwells in us corporately, together. And it's from that place that we do the greater works than Jesus did, simply because now Jesus is not restricted by time and space. Now, Jesus, even when he walked the earth, Jesus could only be in one place at one time. But now Jesus can be all over the world, in every part of the body of Christ, in every local church, in every nation, all over the world. Jesus can be present through his body, the body of Christ, that is ministering and doing the works that he did and even greater works all over the world. That's what makes them greater. Amen. So I just want to encourage us today as we've gathered together, to just recognize that you are part of his body. And one of the saddest things I see sometimes is when people start to compare and, "Oh, I haven't got such and such a gift," or, "I'm not as good as them," or, "I'm better than somebody else because of the powerful gift that they have." But it's not about comparing. You know, the only comparison I can make of myself is to compare what I do to what God has called me to do. Compare who I am to what God has called me to be. That's the only comparison I can make. I can't compare myself to Pastor Ted. I can't compare myself to Pastor Justin. I mustn't compare myself to them, because I'll just realize how much better I'm. No, it's not. You know, I can't help myself. I am the best Dad joke time. You know, I've got the gift of jokes here. I mustn't compare myself to anything other than what God has called me to be. That's the only comparison. Am I living up to what Jesus called me to be? And am I fulfilling my role in the body of Christ? Am I fitting into the place where I belong in the body of Christ? Am I contributing to what the body of Christ does, doing these greater works than Jesus did? That's my responsibility. So I'm going to close now so we can go and get some afternoon tea. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. I just want to read this and just take it as an encouragement for us today. To me, Paul's writing, to me, though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen? You have them in you. Did you know that? The unsearchable riches of Christ are in you. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Now, this was all a mystery before Christ, but now the mystery has been revealed to us. Hidden for the ages in God who created all things, so that, let's say, through the church. Where? Through the church. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That is, impact not only the earthly realm, but through the church will impact the heavenly realm. That through the church we will actually impact things in the realm of the spirit that will have an outworking in the realm of the natural. But it is through the church, not through me individually or you individually or anyone individually, but through the church. Might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly place. This is according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. I just want to finish on that. These things that we have, what God has done, what we read in the Word, ultimately we appropriate it by faith, by believing. If I believe that I carry Jesus in me, then his presence in me is more likely to be manifest. If I believe that the body of Christ can do this, then we appropriate that by faith. Corporately, we believe it and we see it. Amen? So I just want to leave that thought with you. I just want to encourage you, church. Each one of us recognize that you bring the presence of God into the corporate gathering. Recognize that. Walk in that by faith. Yeah, thanks. I better have the music team up because I'm not going to sing a solo. Take a hold of that truth. We are in Christ, secure, protected, safe in Christ, but we have Christ in us, releasing through us everything that Jesus is, everything that he ever was. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to leave that thought with you. And I really love the worship team. Just to finish up with just a song. You're going to do All Hail King Jesus, because we're lifting up Jesus today, amen? Amen. We're lifting up Jesus. And I just would love us just to finish this time together, just lifting up the name of Jesus and worshiping him. It's just an awesome thing to think that our God came to earth in the form of his son Jesus and then came, not only died for our sins, but came to live in us and release his glory in and through us. Amen. So thanks, Tim.